Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the Mishnah, fifth wide line on Daf Kuf Mem Aleph. Sholcho v'chozra afilu arbo v'chamisha pa'amim. A person sent away the mother as he is expected to, but it came back, and this repeated itself 4 or 5 times. Chayov. He is still obligated to continue sending her away before he can take the chicks or eggs. Shenemar shaleach tishalach es ho'em. The posuk repeats itself, and that is the superficial understanding of why the repetition. However, when we get into the Gemara, we will see that the actual source for the need for repetition is from the word shaleach itself. Omar, a person declared, Hareini noitel es ho'em, u'mishaleach es habonim. He says, I'm going to take the mother and send away the chicks, send away the son, the children. Chayov, he would be guilty if he does something like that. Shenemar, shaleach tishalach es ho'em. The mother is that which is sent away. Notal es habonim v'hechziron lakein v'acharka chozra ho'em aleihen. If a person took the children, took the chicks, the eggs, and then put them back into the nest, and then the mother came back, potur milishaleach, he is exempt from sending her away. The reasoning behind this is that once he took the eggs, the nest became mezuman, and the pasuk says ki kore, when you chance upon it, not something that is at your disposal. So having taken possession of the chicks or the eggs, that makes it mezuman, and hence there is no longer any obligation of sending her away. The Gemara. Omar le hahu merabonan lerova. The Emo, this individual suggests to Rava, shaleach equals chadozimna. The double expression in the pasuk could be understood, says this individual, as shaleach referring to one time to send her, the mother, away, to shalach, the repetition of the word trei zimnin, but no more than that. And why is it then that the Mishnah says that one is expected to constantly send the mother away as long as you haven't taken possession of the offspring yet? Amale, so Rava answers, Shaleach afilu mea pa'amim. The word Shaleach itself entails multiple times, even 100 times. Tishalach, the Tishalach word teaches me something else. Ein li elo lidvar harushus. Without the word tishalach, I would think that there is an expectation, an obligation to send the mother away when you're dealing with a situation of an optional nature. Lidvar mitzvah minayin. From where do we know that even if by taking the mother you will be able to fulfill a mitzvah? Examples, Rashi gives examples, a woman who bore a child brings a bird offering, so this mother bird might fulfill that bird offering requirement, or in the case of a mitzora that needs to achieve tahara, purification from his tumah state of tzoras, a bird is necessary. The Torah, therefore, is telling us, and we are about to find the source, for how do you know that even if you have a need for the mother bird to fulfill a mitzvah, nevertheless, you are not to take her for that mitzvah, but you must fulfill Shiluah HaKen, you must send her away. And as far as your korbanos needs, you'll fulfill that by purchasing another bird. So where do we know that? Talmud Lomar Tishalach Mikomakom. You must send the mother away, even if it's at the expense, so to speak, of fulfilling another mitzvah. Amalei Rabbi Abba Breder of Yosef Bar Rava L'Rav Kahana. So how do we know that you are supposed to opt for this mitzvah and not the other mitzvah? Only because you have this extra word, tishalach. Ha, la, pochi. Had I not had this extra word, tishalach, have amino, lidvar, mitzvah lo, would I in fact have thought that in the face of another mitzvah, so I wouldn't send the mother away, I would take her? That is hard to believe. Why? Why, in effect, why is it that I really need the word tishalach? Even without that, aseh veloisa asehu, the realm of shiluach hakein involves a double mitzvah. There's a positive and a negative mitzvah. There's the positive mitzvah of shalach, and there's the negative mitzvah of lo tikach in the posuk. You can see this in the Torah. At the end of Pasuk Vav, it says, Lo tikacho eim al abonim. And as a result of the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein being a compound mitzvah, positive and negative, v'ein asei doiche lo yisaseh v'asei, the other mitzvah, for example, the Taharas HaMetzorah, for example, the Metzorah and his need for the bird to achieve purification, that is merely a positive mitzvah. So you have a choice or a confrontation between the positive mitzvah of Taharas HaMetzorah, the Aseh, versus a compound mitzvah by the bird of Lo Yisaseh and an Aseh. So it's obvious, hands down, the bird mitzvah, the Shiluach HaKein, should win out. And you would have to Mekayim Shiluach HaKein, and not the Taharas HaMetzorah with this particular bird, even without having the Tishalach word. So the question right now is, what do I need Tishalach? Now, you'll notice with the markings, we have some volcano shapes. And we've numbered them one, and a few lines later, a number two. You'll notice at the outside margin, one of the features of the Shas Ozer is to provide structural notes that explain the various markings as they appear, as well as topic headings that we call nosei. Here, under our Mivneh heading, structural note, you see a volcano shape featured, and we've written Hezberim ma bo tishalach lilamed. What really is tishalach necessary for? Simply to say that you shall opt, that you must opt for the Shiluach HaKein over a competing mitzvah, that would be obvious. So the Gemara answers, Lo Tzricha, the word Tishalach is necessary under the following circumstances. De'ovar v'shoklo le'em. He violated the mitzvah of the Shiluach HaKein and he took the mother. So he is now holding the mother bird. De'lav avrei. As far as the negative command concerning the Shiluach HaKein, that's a matter that is not a concern anymore. He has violated it. So we put it aside. Once again, he's taken the bird improperly. So he's violated that. He's holding the mother when he should have sent her away. Asei hu de'ika. There remains just the positive mitzvah of now send her away. Oh, So you have by the bird a positive mitzvah, and you have on the other side of the equation the taras hamitzora. So you're holding a bird that maybe you took improperly, but right now you're holding the bird. As far as the mitzvah shiluach hakein is concerned, there remains only an asay to fulfill. And as far as taras hamitzora, that too is an asay. So I would have thought, lesi asay, velitchi asay. Let the positive command of taras mitzora come and supersede and push off the asay of shiluach hakein. Komash molon, this would be the role of tishalach, to tell me, to settle the matter and say we will opt for the asay of sending away the mother. The Gemara says that this analysis really holds up only according to one of two opinions that deal with the issue of at what point is one said to be in violation of a negative command. What we mean by this will become clear as we go along in the Gemara. But before we proceed, we just must make it clear that there are two opinions regarding the point in time at which one is said to be in violation of this negative command. Or in other words, is it really true that simply by taking possession of the mother bird, one is considered having violated the negative command? Because if you were to say that, listen, just by taking her and holding the live mother bird in your hand, you really have not violated the negative command. Violation would be achieved only at the point you can no longer possibly fulfill the mitzvah, namely by, let us say, shechting the mother bird or killing the mother bird. But up till that point, you have not really violated the negative command. If we were to adopt that approach, then once again, the original question comes back. I haven't violated anything with regard to the shiluach hakein. I would be then in a situation where the shiluach hakein is once again a compound mitzvah, versus taras hamitzora, which is a singular positive command. And it would be hands down clear that you'll do the mitzvah of shiluach hakein. What do I need the tishalach pasuk for? So we continue in the Gemara. Ha nicha, it will make sense that I need tishalach leman detoni kaimo velo kaimo. This is a very brief term, but it means that a person is said to be in violation of the lo saseh immediately upon receiving warning to fulfill the aseh and not doing so. In other words, kaimo means we tell the person who, let us say, took the bird improperly, and we say, hey, you know, you took this bird, you must send her away. And if we see that he tarries even a few moments and doesn't immediately react, so then we say, okay, you have now violated the lo saseh. With that analysis, we can say that a person who wrongfully took a mother bird and didn't immediately, after taking her, then send her away, he has finished, so to speak, the lo saseh. He's in violation of the lo saseh. And right now, what should he do? So he's confronted with, should he send the mother a bird away to fulfill the positive command of shaleach, or should he keep the bird to fulfill the other positive mitzvah of taras mitzora? So in order to settle that matter, we need tishalach. That's what we mean when the Gemara says honicha. That will work according to this approach that says the violation of the lav is fairly immediate. El leman detoni, bitlo velo bitlo. The other approach that says only if you are mevatel the possibility of fulfilling the asay, only at that point are you said to be in violation of the negative command. Kamo delo shachta, as long as you have not slaughtered the mother, Lo avrei la lav. You haven't even violated the lav. You haven't even violated the negative command. Once again, the negative command is not by merely taking the mother. The negative command is in violation only when you abolish the possibility of fulfilling the asay. And that is only if you, let us say, slaughter the mother bird. So up till that point, there still is an asay and a lo saaseh in the context of shiluah hakein. Being that that's the case, it's clear then that you would be obligated to fulfill shiluah hakein and not even have a thought about the other mitzvah, the taras ha-mitzora. So what would I need tishalach for? Vesu, furthermore, L'Rabbi Yehuda d'Omar shaleach me'ikoro mashma, there is a machlokes tanoim. The Rabbanan hold that the mitzvah of shiluach hakein is made of a lav hanitak la'aseh, meaning a negative command followed by a positive command. And that's what it appears as in the Torah. It says, lo sikach ho'eim al abonim, that's a negative command. And then following it, it says in the Torah, shaleach tishalach. That's the Rabbanan approach to this particular mitzvah. And it's along those lines that we were offering this analysis, or these two opinions, between kaimo velo kaimo versus bitlo velo bitlo. In other words, when you have a lav hanitak laseh, when you have a negative command followed by the positive command, the Torah is telling us that instead of viewing it as a standard negative mitzvah, it's a type of mitzvah that can be rectified, or its fulfillment or correction is through the fulfillment of the positive command. And therefore, you don't have to view it as a standard negative command, which generally speaking results in lashing. So once again, when you have a lav hanitak laseh, you have first a negative command followed by a positive command. By fulfilling the positive command, you thereby alleviate the need for lashing. And we just saw two opinions regarding that matter. How quickly is one expected to fulfill the positive command in order to alleviate or obviate the need for lashing? So one opinion was you have to fulfill the asay immediately, and if not, then you are in violation of the lav. And the other opinion is, even if you don't fulfill the asay immediately, you're still not said to be in violation of the lav. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says, shaleach me'ikora mashma. Let's read this line again. V'su l'Rabbi Yehuda d'yomar shaleach me'ikora mashma. Rabbi Yehuda has a totally different take on this mitzvah. He says that even though shaleach is printed or written in the Torah after the negative command, it nevertheless is understood to be before the negative command. That's what the term me'ikor. Now, what do we mean by that? The intent of the Torah is that when you chance upon a nest, you are expected immediately, you're expected to send away the mother, and the sending away the mother, and don't take the eggs without having sent her away first. Let's repeat that. The Torah is saying, in effect, don't take the eggs without having sent her away initially. According to Rabbi Yehuda, then, afilu asay nami leka. In the case of shiluah hakein, if you happen to have taken the mother, then there is no longer any mitzvah that remains with regard to shiluah hakein. You are in total violation. Once you took the mother without having sent her away, the sending away was what was understood to be in the initial, the first act you should have done. If you didn't do that, then there doesn't remain anything left to do. Let us glance at the Rashi on the second line under the Gemara text. V'su l'Rabbi Yehuda d'Amar b'Masnisin loike aveinu mishaleach. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, in the upcoming Mishnah, that if you took the mother without having sent her away initially, then there is malchus, there is lashing, and there's no more fulfillment of a positive command left. The Amala Kamon later will be revealed to us in the Gemara, the Hainu time of the Rabbi Yehuda. The reason for Rabbi Yehuda is the Kosova Shalach Meikora Mashma, that the Shaleach command is something understood at the outset. Kloimar, Lo Sika Choeim, don't take a mother bird. Avo Kishitinseno, if you happen to chance upon a nest, Shalcheno, send her away. V'im Lokcha, Lo Koomar Kro. And if you did happen to take her, the pasuk is not intending to say, well, once you took her, well, send her away. The need for the teshalach word, according to Rabbi Yehuda, cannot be then explained anymore regarding a case where you happen to violate the taking of her, and I need now the teshalach word to settle the confrontation or the competition between the two asays. Deha afilu l'dvar harashus asay leka. Even if it were a matter of something of a personal, optional, personal need that you have for the bird, not a mitzvah need, there is no longer an asay with regard to shiluach hakein. The low boy is shiluach, and there's no need to send it away, even if you want it just for no reason. The kevon denotla avrei lelav asay. Once you took the mother, you are immediately in violation of the negative and the positive command. The lav ba'amod ushlach koi. You are not any longer in a position of needing to send her away. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you took the mother bird, what we said before, Avrei Ovar Velokha, was the Ovar Reshokla, was the Loshen of the Gemara, that wouldn't be appropriate as a Hezber, as an explanation for Rabbi Yehuda's approach. So, because, once again, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, if you took the mother bird, then, improperly, of course, there are no more mitzvahs regarding Shiluach HaKein, as far as this circumstance is concerned. And I don't need Tishalach to settle some kind of balanced situation between two mitzvahs asay. There are no mitzvahs asay left, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, with regard to Shiluach HaKein, if you took her improperly. So what does Tishalach teach me? So we have basically two questions, or two reasons that we need to find a new purpose in Tishalach. One of them being according to the approach of Bitlo Velo Bitlo. So in that case, it's obvious to us on our own that Shiluach HaKein would win out because you still have an Aseh and a Lois Aseh to fulfill, and that will overrule the Aseh of the Taras HaMetzora. And as far as Rabbi Yehuda, on the other extreme, if you improperly took the mother, you have violated everything. So if you want to say that again, even though we're sounding a little repetitious, according to the Rabbanon, the approach that says bitlo velo bitlo, you haven't violated anything yet with regard to Shiluach HaKein. And then from that standpoint, it's obvious to us that without Tishalach that you'll have to do Shiluach HaKein. And as far as Rabbi Yehuda, on the other extreme, there are no more mitzvahs left with regard to Shiluach HaKein. And once again, I don't need Tishalach to settle any matter. Elo Omar Mor Bravashi Kegoin Shenotla Al Menas L'Shaleach. The scenario in which there will be a need for the Tishalach to settle a matter would be a case where a person took the mother bird with the intent of sending her away. The lav leka. At the point that he's holding the mother, this person hasn't violated any negative command. But this very person who took the mother with the intent of sending her away also happens to have the need for bringing a korban, either mitzora or yoledes. Asehu de'ika. This person who is currently holding the mother bird has, as far as shiluah hakein is concerned, an asei. V'leisi asei, v'litchi asei. So without tishalach, I would have thought that let taras hamitzora overrule the mitzvah of shiluach, the asei of sending the mother away. You may ask, umay ulme dahai asei mehai asei. Ulme means stronger. What is stronger about the taras hamitzora need that on my own I would have thought that would overrule the shiluach and hence justifying the need for tishalach to tell me send the mother away? Answer, salkodaitoch. And we should note, by way of structure of Gemara, this answer will take up a number of lines of Gemara. We are explaining what I would have thought. What I would have thought without tishalach, namely, what would have led me to think that I would have opted for taras hamitzora over the shiluach hakein mitzvahs asei. So the Gemara explains, salkodai tochamina, hoyol v'yomar mar, since it has been said, godol sholom shebein ish li'ishto, the institution of domestic peace is so great. Shaharei omro Torah, the Torah, when it comes to the parsha of Sota, a woman suspected of immorality, married woman suspected of immoral behavior with another man, and that situation makes it such that she is forbidden to her husband until the doubt is clarified. So you have a situation of non-peace between husband and wife. The Torah says, in the context of the Sota ceremony, Shmoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shenichtav b'kedusha, the name of the Almighty, which is written in holiness, Yimoche al Hamayim, as part of the Sota clarification process, the parsha of what's called parsha sota is written, and then the parsha is erased, including the name of the Almighty is erased over water. The ink is scraped off the parchment and it falls into water, which she subsequently drinks. That's yimocha alamayim, is erased over the water. So we see that the issue of domestic peace to reestablish a viable home situation, peace between the couple, we make this allowance, we go to an extreme to reinstate shalom. V'hai mitzora, the issue of the mitzora, which is our topic, is also along these lines of a bother with regard to, or interference with regard to, domestic peace. In what sense? Kevon de kama de lo mitar, because it is such that as long, kama means as long, the lo mitar, that he hasn't achieved tahara, asur betashe shamita, he is forbidden to live with his wife in intimacy. Dechtiv, the pasuk in the context of mitzora says, v'yoshav michutz lo'olo shivas yomim, he shall be outside of his ohel for 7 days, olo zuishto, and the term ohel means his wife. That means he must be separate from his wife for a period of time. Nikan, from this we see, asur betashe shamita, that the mitzora is prohibited to conduct intimacy. So with that in mind, ma'u detema, I would have thought, kevon de otzer betashe shamita, since the couple is restrained from conducting intimacy, leisi asei didei, I would have thought that the positive command of taras hamitzora shall come along, v'lidchi asei v'shiluach hakein, that it would have this strength of overruling the positive command of sending the mother bird away, in order, of course, to achieve this shalom bias. Komash malon, therefore, I need the word tishalach to tell me that you must go with the Shiluach HaKein, with the positive command of sending away the mother. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a new Mishnah, and at the side we have a Nosei, a topic heading, Machloikis Tanoim Mahim HaTotzaois L'mishovar V'notal Esoeim Al Habonim. We'll see a Machloikis Tanoim that concerns the result of someone having taken the mother while the children are in the nest. In other words, how do we look at this situation where someone violated the command and took the mother? Hanoitel Aim Al Habonim, a one who took the mother with the children still in the nest. Rebuta Omer Loike the Eino Mishalech, that as soon as you took her, that warrants receiving lashes, and there is no more expectation of him sending the mother away. V'chachomim omrim mishaleach v'eino loike. Even though you took the mother, that does not mean that there is going to be lashing. Even though by taking the mother you are certainly in violation of a lav, or it would seem, let's say, that you're in violation of a lav, nevertheless there's no malchus. And that's kind of odd, because the standard approach is that when one is in violation of a negative command, he gets lashes. Why is it here that the Chachamim say no lashes? Ze haklal. They present the following rule. Kol mitzvus loisa sheyesh bo kum asei, ein loiken olel. Any time the Torah reveals a negative command, but there is a positive command that follows, let us say, that follows or undoes or rectifies the negative command that was violated. So, ein lokin oleho. There's a Rashi that you'll see in the lower part of the page, around seven lines from the bottom. Ein lokin olov. The lahochi niskoi lasei. The Torah, in writing a positive command after the negative command, which is the case in our parsha of Shiluach HaKein, Lomar, it comes to tell me, Im Ovar Al Halav, if one violated the negative command, Ya'aseh Zois Binotzel, he shall do this, namely the positive, in this case, send her away, and thereby save himself from lashes. Lo Sika Choeim, the Torah says, don't take the mother. V'im lokach, if you did take her, shaleach teshlach, send her away. So as far as the Rabbanan are concerned, they look at the psukim as a sequence of events. Namely, don't take the mother. And, well, if you did, so now you have a positive command to fulfill. So by setting the mitzvah up in this way, we are, in effect, removing the lo saseh from the realm of standard negative commands which result in lashing, and establishing a special situation whereby reaction to having violated the negative command is fulfill the positive command. Well, that's because you have a positive command stated after the negative. In general, when you have a negative command in isolation, so that, everyone will agree, results in malchus, because that's the reaction to the violation of an isolated negative command. Once again, but over here, according to the Rabbanan, they look at the psukim as describing order of events. First, you know, it says, don't take the mother, and then if you took the mother, now, after having taken the mother, fulfill this positive command. Let us now continue in the Gemara. We finished the mission by reading the rule of Kol Mitzvos Lo Saseh Sheyesh Bo Kum Aseh Ein Loken Olel. Now the Gemara asks, what is the reasoning or the basis of Rabbi Yehuda? And we have featured this under our Nosei heading in the outside margin to introduce this piece of Gemara. Ma tam Rabbi Yehuda Omer Loike V'eino Sholeach. What is the reason for Rabbi Yehuda saying that there is Malkus in the event that he took the mother and no longer any need or requirement to send her away? Haim Mishum de Sover, is it because he holds Aleph, one possibility is Lav Hanita Klasei Lokin Olav, that in general, negative commands that have positive commands following them don't remove them from the realm of Malkos, but they get lashed just like any standard negative command in isolation. Or are we to understand Rabbi Yehuda as follows? The shaleach meikora mashma, that the positive command that appears in the Torah is understood not like the Rabbanan as a sequence of events, but rather it's a command that one is expected to fulfill initially. In other words, the Torah is saying, when you chance upon a nest, you shall send her away. And by doing that, you will not be violating the negative command. Velo have bichlal lav shenita klasei. And as a result of this approach, Rav Yehuda in effect would acknowledge that in general there is a concept of lav hanita klasei, where you have a lav followed by an asei. We would say that the asei removes it from the realm of malkos. That's nitak. It's removed from the realm of the losas and it's treated as an asei without malkos. But in this case, the positive command that follows really is understood as being an initial command and not something merely to be fulfilled after you violated the negative. So now we will learn this in the Gemara. Boy, Rabbi Abba Bar Momol. Taimod Rabbi Yehuda. The reason for Rabbi Yehuda, is it Mishum de Sovar Lav Shenita Klasei Loikin Olav? Does he have a general approach that negative commands that are followed in the Torah by positive commands, nevertheless, there is going to be Malkus. Oy Dilma. The Almos of Alav Shenita Klasei ain't Loikin Olav. Or, in general, he holds that Alav, a negative command that is followed by a positive command in the Torah is communicating the idea that the Lav is removed from the realm of the negative, which means ordinarily resulting in lashes, and in such a case, go ahead and fulfill the positive command as the reaction or as the solution to having violated the negative. And hence, ein lokin olav. That in general, let's read that again. Oidomo bi alma sovar lav shenita klasei ein lokin olav. The hocha here in the case of shiluach hakein hainu taimo. This is the reason that there is that Rabbi Yehuda holds malchus. Mishum de kosovar shaleach meikora mashma. That the positive command in this case is meikora, means is understood as something at the outset. Once again, even though we've explained this already, this would mean that as opposed to a positive command to be fulfilled after having violated the negative of taking the mother with the children still there, no. Shaleach meikora mashma is telling me initially when you chance upon a nest, you shall send the mother away, thereby not violating the negative command of lo sikachoim. However, if you did take the mother, there is nothing left. And taking the mother, if you do that, then you are in violation of a simple negative command. In other words, not having done the shaleach at the outset, not having done that, you are confronted with a simple negative command, and hence there is to be lashes. The question has been raised, what is the underlying reasoning for Rabbi Yehuda requiring lashings in our mitzvah, in our case of having taken the mother taken the mother while the children are there? So you'll notice, by way of markings, we have a triangle that appears here, and when you see one, there's got to be more. And as we continue to Amud Beis, you will notice there are more triangles, and you'll also notice that they assume different positions. So in our Mivneh note in the outside margin, we have a triangle featured point up, point facing upwards, Hoychocha La'alef D'Leal. This would be evidence to the first side of our analysis, namely that a Lav Hanitak Laseh Loiken Olav, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a general principle of Malkus across the boards with regard to all Lav Hanitak Laseh's. And the case of the Shiluach HaKen would just be one more example of that. When we see a triangle face flipping over, that will be hoichacha lebeis. That will be proof to the second side of the analysis, which would be showing that in general, Rabbi Yehuda acknowledges that lav hanitak laseh is ein lokin olav. The Gemara Toshma ganav v'gazlon yeshnon b'chlal malkus divrei Rabbi Yehuda. People who violate the prohibition of theft, they steal, they are subject to receiving lashing. That's their punishment. Here, in this case of theft, the lav shenita glasehu. This is an example of a negative command followed by a positive command. The Rachmona Omar, the Torah says, Loi sigzoil, that thou shalt not steal. Veheshiv es hagzela, and you shall, and this is a positive command, you shall return the theft. So in the Torah, this is an example, without getting into, there are certain details that, questions that one could raise on what we're saying, but let's avoid the details right now. The Rashi explains some additional problems that arise here, but for our purposes, the issue of theft is a lav shenita klasei. There's a negative command, don't steal. And if you stole, so now return the item of theft. And yet, Rabbi Yehuda says there are malkus. There's lashing for someone who stole. Shma mino, time of the Rabbi Yehuda, mishum de kosovar. We conclude from here that the reason for Rabbi Yehuda is because he holds lav shenita klasei, loiken olav. That there is malkus for a lav that is followed by a positive command. Omar le Rabbi Zera. We saw in our Gemara that Rabbi Abba Bar Mommel had raised a question. So we have here now Rabbi Zera responding to this attempted proof that supposedly settled the matter. He says, Lav amina lechu, did I not tell you, kol masnisa, any Tanaic source, any brisa, the lotanya, bei Rabbi Chiya ubei Rabbi Shaya, that were not taught in the yeshivas of either Rabbi Chiya or Rabbi Shaya, mishabeshtohi velotos vu mino, they are not reliable, and therefore don't use them to settle matters. Don't ask from them, or don't even cite them to settle matters. Lo tosfumino bei midrasha. Don't raise them or introduce them into the base medrash to settle matters. And this Tanaic source that was featured after the triangle is that kind of thing. That kind of source that did not come from the school of Reb Chiya nor Reb Shaya. They were the authorities with regard to Tanaic sources outside Mishnayos, the Brisos. And if it doesn't come from the underwriter's laboratory of Reb Chiya or Reb Shaya, then you just can't rely on it. And as things are, Dilma eino b'chlal malkus arboim tanya. As far as the source that you quoted here in this Toshma, it could very well be that the source really says eino b'chlal malkus arboim, that there is no malkus for theft because of it being a lav hanitak laseh. At this point, the matter is still open, hence we continue. Toshma. Detoni Raboshai Verbuchia. Now we've dashed underlined these names simply to emphasize that we're now introducing a source that we are able to rely on in light of that which was mentioned just a moment before on the top line of our Gemara. So here we have a source that comes through Raboshai and Rabuchia. This is a source that deals with shikha. This is an agricultural halacha with regard to tithes or sections or items left for the poor. So in when one is harvesting, if he walks by grains and forgetting to take them, he walks by them, not paying attention to them, the Pasuk says, Lo Sashuv, that you shall not go back to take that which you walked by in harvesting. Vishav, let us say he then did go back to take it. Lo Sechale, there's this is a mitzvah regarding Peah, Lo Sechale, that one should not complete his field. He shouldn't harvest the entire field. So let's go over this again. Lo Soshuv is the negative command regarding Shikha. Let us say he nevertheless Vishav, he did go wrongfully and take the Shikha. The Pasuk says Lo Sechale, that you should not harvest the entire field, leave a corner of the field. And what did this guy do? V'chala, he harvested the whole field. Yeshnon b'chlal malkus arboim. These are mitzvahs that will result in lashings if one violated them. Divrei Rebbe Yehuda. This is a teaching according to Rebbe Yehuda. Now, what must we point out? That the psukim with regard to shikha and peah are stated in a negative form, lo sechaleh. And the end of the pasuk goes on to say, "Leoni v'lager tazov osam." There is a positive command that follows the negative, and yet Rabbi Yehuda says there is malchus. Shma mina. We can conclude from here. Taimi to Rabbi Yehuda, mishum dekosova lav shenita klasei loikin olav. That a negative command that's followed by a positive command, nevertheless, there will be lashing. The Gemara rejects this. This is not conclusive evidence that he holds in general. Lav shenigal say lo kenolav. Dilma hosam hainu ta'am. It could be over there in the source that dealt with shikha and peah. The reason for the lashing is the kosovar ta'azoiv meikora mashma, that the positive command that although is written after the negative is really understood, like we explained before with the Shiluach HaKein, as something that one is expected to do at the outset. Namely, the Torah is not telling this individual that, well, if you took the Shikha, now just leave it there, put it back there. But rather, it's telling us, when you come to a field, at the outset, know to leave these items for the poor. And don't take them. So if you state it that way, you understand that the ta'azov, le'oni v'lager, ta'azov osam, is something that is an instruction at the outset. Once again, not a result of having violated the negative command, you are now told, well, since you violated, now leave it for the poor. But rather, it's an instruction from the outset. When you come to a field, you must leave these things for the poor. And by doing that, you will not be in violation of lo soshev or lo sechale. Well, once again, if you take this approach, then you're in effect saying that shikha and peah are are unique. They're a unique example of, even though the positive command is printed or written after the negative, it nevertheless is not an example of a lav anita klase. And with that, Reb Yehuda might very well adopt the general approach of the Rabbanon that lav shenita klase is ein lokan olav, and this is simply not an example of a lav hanita klase, because this ase doesn't follow, even though it's written afterwards, it is understood meikora. Omar le Ravina lo Ravashi toshma. Now, as we mentioned before, you see the triangle is flipped over, so that the direction being taken over here is not like we've been doing till now, trying to say that Rebuta in general holds lav shenita klase loken olav, but rather, in general, he will tell you that lav shenita klase ain loken olav. And if that be the case, so then why, by Shiluach HaKein, is there Malkus? Because Shiluach HaKein is not an example of a lav anita klase, and rather the ase, the shaleach, is meikora mashma. So now let's see inside. Toshma, loy sosiru mimenu ad boiker. And it goes on to say, vanosu mimenu ad boiker bo'esh tisrofu. This is a command regarding the meat of the Korban Pesach. The Torah says, don't leave over meat of the Korban Pesach. You should rather consume it the Pesach night, the night of the 15th of Nisan. And well, and if you did leave over the meat, then there's a positive command that follows that you shall burn that which remains. Bo hakosuv litein aseh achar lo yisaseh. The Torah is stating a positive following the negative. Loy marloch, in showing us, instructing us, or telling us, or teaching us, she'ein loiken olav, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that when you have a setup like this of a negative command followed by a positive command, there shall be no Malkus. Oh, so if that be the case, why is it in the case of Shiluach HaKein, where you have a negative command, namely Lo Sikach Eim Alabonim, which is followed by a positive command, and yet Reb Yehuda says there is Malkus? So Shema Mino, we must therefore conclude time with Reb Yehuda Mishum Degosov HaShalech Meikara Mashma, because Reb Yehuda happens to read the Torah in this Parsha of Shiluach HaKein, where the positive is understood to be fulfilled at the outset and not as a result of having violated the negative. And hence, Shiluach HaKein is not an example of a lav shenita klase. Omale Rav Idi l'Ravashi Masnisin Nami Daiko. Through careful reading of our Mishnah, you can see that this is Reb Yehuda's approach, that Shaleach Meikara Mashma. And it's not an example of something that's Nitak Lase. Dekotoni, Hanoitel Ein Al Habonim, Reb Yehuda Omer Loike V'Ein Meshaleach. That's a quote from our Mishnah. If it were so that Reb Yehuda has a general approach, that even that a general approach that says that negative commands that are followed by positive commands do warrant lashing, then the Mishnah should have said loike u'mishaleach miboyale, that there's Malkus and there still is a positive command to fulfill. Yet it doesn't say that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says loike, there's Malkus, v'ein mishaleach, and there's no more shiluach to do. Well, why is there no more shiluach to do? Because shiluach was understood only at the outset, namely before having come to any violation. But once it's violated, there's no more asay. The Gemara says, maybe this is not so conclusive. In other words, maybe that's not what the Mishnah is telling us. The Dilma Hochi Korma B'mas Nisan Ein Niftar Ad the Malkin Lei. Ein Niftar means he hasn't completed his obligations with the mere sending away until he gets Malkus. So from the Mishnah, it could be It could be argued the other way as well, that he in fact holds in general, lav shenita klase, there is malchus. And what the Mishnah meant by loike vein mishaleach means that by receiving the malchus, that doesn't complete by sending it away, he doesn't complete his obligation or his penalty until he receives malchus as well. The Gemara asks, ad kamo mishalcha. Rashi adds that we're talking about a case of someone who took the mother. Omar Rav Yehuda answers, Kidei shetetze mitachas yodo. He sends her away to the extent that it leaves his hold on it. Rashi says, shetetze mitachas yodo, v'im yochol lachsor uletoipso muter. If he can then grab her after he let her go from under his hand, he's able to do it. Bame mishalcha. How is he to send her away? Rav Huna Omar Biragleho, Rav Yehuda Omar Bagapel. Approaching this piece of Gemara, we would like to note that Rashi has two different explanations. The first explanation, actually the one that he doesn't like so much, is a rather simple explanation. According to Rav Huna, Baragleo means you will grab the bird by its feet and toss it away. And according to Rebuta Bagapel, you grab the bird by the wings and toss her away. There is another approach that Rashi points out, and that is that according to Rav Huna, given a case that a person who took a mother bird and, let's say, clipped its wings so that it can't fly anymore, is there still a possibility of sending her away? Is there a way to fulfill sending her away? So Rav Huna says, Baragleho, yes, by setting the bird free and it walks away, that will also be a fulfillment. According to Rav Yehuda, if you clipped its wings, you have ruined the chance of fulfilling it, because he basically says Bagapel means with its wings. If you clipped its wings until they grow back, so to speak, which is unlikely, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah. The only way to fulfill Shiluach, according to Yehuda, is through its flying. Rav Huna Omar Biragleho, that Shiluach is accomplished through walking. Tichtiv, the pasuk says Mishalche Regel Hashor V'Chamor. So you see in this pasuk the word Mishalche, like Shiluach, and the word Regel, feet. So that Shiluach is accomplished through feet, through walking. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Bagapeha. Rabbi Yehuda says no, it must be through flight. Regel Deha, the feet of a bird, the bird's main mode of locomotion is Kinofeha Ninu. So its feet, so to speak, the feet of a bird, feet meaning not a particular limb, but rather feet is a description of main method of locomotion. So in the case of a Shor V'Chamor, its main method of locomotion is with the limb known as feet. With regard to birds, the main method of locomotion is with its wings. Hahu de gazinu legapo v'sholcho v'achar tofso. It was a case of someone who cut off the wings of a bird, and a mother bird that he took and cut off its wings, and then sent her away. V'achar kach tofso, and then grabbed her back. Nagde Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda imposed lashings to this individual. Amalei zil rovi lo gadfei v'sholcha. Have it grow back its wings and then send it. In other words, this is Rav Yehuda seemingly conforming to what he just said before, that there's no sending away accomplished by allowing the bird simply to walk away. In looking at this Rav Yehuda approach, Rav Yehuda, by the way, we have to emphasize, is an Amora. He's arguing with Rav Huna, so we know this Rav Yehuda is an Amora. And the Gemara now asks, Rav Yehuda's behavior, or his legal ruling over here, is in conformity with whom, by way of Tanoim. Keman, like whom is he going? If he is following the Tana Rav Yehuda, don't confuse Rav Yehuda with the Tana Rav Yehuda. So we're saying, if he's following the Tana Rav Yehuda, well, the Tana Rav Yehuda, if a person grabbed a mother bird before sending her away, so loike ve'ein mishaleach, Rav Yehuda's approach is there's lashings, but there's no need to send away. And yet this Rav Yehuda, the Amora, said that there still is an option of sending her away if it were to grow back the wings. E kerabonan, if Rav Yehuda was following the Rabbanan, mishaleach v'ein loke, there's no grounds for lashings according to the approach of the Tanoim, the Rabbanan. So the Gemara answers, li'olam kerabonan, Rav Yehuda, the Amora, would follow the approach of the Rabbanan, that say that for the wrongful taking of a bird, there is no lashings, because it's a basic lav shenita klasei. The Torah is telling us that there is no malchus. Umakas mardus midrabbanan, and that the fact that he imposes malchus, that Rav Yehuda the Amora imposed malchus, this is known as Malchus Mardus. It's a rabbinic imposed Malchus. Hahu da'asa l'kamei de'rova. A person came to Rova, Amale, Timo Mahu. What is the din with regard to Timo? The Timo is a kosher variety bird. And the person is asking, what is the din of Shiloh HaKein with regard to Timo? Omar, Rav Rova said to himself when he heard this man ask the question, Lo yoda hai gavro de oif tohor chayav lishluchi. Does this person not know that a kosher variety bird is under the obligation to be sent away? Omar lay, so Rava now speaks up to the man and says, Dilmo chado biasahu de ramyo. Maybe what's bothering you is that you chanced upon a nest with one egg in it, a singular egg. And that could pose a point of doubt to a person who's not well informed, meaning that the Torah writes this mitzvah when there are efroichim or beitzim, two words in the plural, and you've confronted a nest with only one egg in it. Amalei hai, and the man says, that's right, this is my problem. So Rava answers, Yadi loch, let it be known to you, masnisen hi, the answer to your question is found in the Mishnah, and which says, Ein shomel afroch echad obeitzo achas chayov lishaleach. No, it says here, if there's only one chick or one egg in the nest, there nevertheless is a shiluach hakein obligation. Sholcha, so he sent away the bird. Ve'ahadur le Rava pristiki v'tafsa. Rava himself, who was the one presented with the question, Rava set out traps and caught the bird that this man sent away. The Gemara asks, how could Rava behave that way? Velechush lechashoda. Why doesn't he concern himself with the public suspicion? In other words, people will say that Rava told him to send it away only because he wanted to catch it. He wanted to get that bird, and so that's why he told the questioner to send her away. So the Gemara answers, Kilachar Yad. Rava's nets that he put out, whatever traps or nets that he put out, were done in such a way that it would not have arisen any public doubt. Rashi adds, Meruchok, Pires Hametsuda. Meruchok Pires Hametsuda. He set up the nets or the traps at a distance. Shelo Haven Hamashalech, the one who sent the mother away wouldn't have caught on, so to speak, or he wouldn't have thought that Rava did this with said what he did with the intention of catching this specific bird. Tonu Rabbanan. Before going on, we have a topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei heading, Yoine Shoivach V'Yoine Aliyah. These are birds from coops, and in Aliyah are attics. Chayovas b'shiluach. We're told that there, if one chances upon birds that are in bird coops or yone Aliyah, birds that make nests in rafters, you know, Aliyahs are second stories or attics. There is an obligation. There still is an obligation of sending them away. And asuros mishum gezel mitnei darke shalom. On the other hand, to take them, there would be a prohibition of theft, but not real theft, but rather theft that if one steals it, it will cause strife between people. This is, generally speaking, something where a person has an expectation that something is his, even though technically speaking he's not a formal owner of it. But if he feels he has rights to it, and someone else comes and takes it away, he is said to be in violation of this gezel mipnei darkei shalom. Tanu rabbanan, yoinei shoivach v'yoinei aliyah. Chayovos b'shiluach v'asuros mishum gezel mipnei darkei shalom. That's a Tanaic source. As we said, these birds of the coops or rafters, there is an obligation to send them away, but there is nevertheless a general prohibition of taking birds from coops or from rafters, because that will create a strife. V'i Isa leha d'yomer Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina. If we were to accept Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina's ruling that says chatzero shel adam koine lo shelo midaitoi, that a person's property is able to acquire things for him even if he is unaware of it. In other words, it's sufficient that something is found in a person's property that he is said to acquire it. Well, if that's the case, if you're describing birds in rafters or in coops, karikan, then shouldn't we refer to them ki korei prat limazuman? That the whole mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein is only something you chance upon, as opposed to things that are at your disposal. So if you have bird coops and aliyah attics, and the birds are found there, are they not at your disposal? Is it not so that they are not a function of chancing, merely chancing upon them? So the question very simply is, why is there a chiyuv Shiluach? Omar Rav. So Rav explains how this operates. Beitza im yitzias ruba hu dechayav b'shiluach. An egg, once the majority of it emerges from the mother who is laying the egg, when the majority leaves her body, in other words, it's still attached to her birth passage, we'll say, but most of it is out. At that point, there is the obligation of Shiluach HaKein kicks in. But at that very point, Mikna lo koni ad tipo lechatzero. He is not considered the owner of it as an egg until it lands in the chotzer. V'chikotoni chayovas b'shiluach, the source that says that the Yonei Shoivach and Yonei Aliyah are obligated to be sent away, Mekamed de Tipo Lechatzero, that's at a point prior to the egg falling into the chotzer itself, the domain itself. When, as we said, the egg is still coming out, even though Rove has emerged, it's still coming out of the mother, and hence he hasn't formally acquired it. Ihachi, if you're saying that he hasn't acquired it, amai asuros mishum gezel, why do you say that there's some form of theft? Why why should there be any form of theft if he has not acquired it yet? The Gemara answers, A'imam. The gezel that we're speaking about is with regard to the mother bird. The gezel, in fact, is referring to the beitza, not the mother. The egg, since Rove, the majority, has emerged, he has intentions, his mind is on it, and someone else comes along and swipes it away, so he is said to be in violation of this Gezel Mipnei Darkei Shalom. V'hashtodom Rav Yudah Marav, and now with new information in mind, as we will see, Osir Lizkois Bebeitzim Shoeim Roivetzitz Aleihem, that it is osir to acquire, lizkois, to take possession of beitzim, of eggs that a mother is sitting upon, that is incubating. Shenemar, shaleach tishalach, shaleach esoim, v'hodar habonim tikachloch, you must send away the mother and then take the eggs. Afilu temo, even if you say afagav de nofal chatzero, the egg has completely settled in the chatzero, has completely left the mother. However, she's sitting on it, so that the teaching of chayovas b'shiluach, we don't have to restrict to the case of only Rove is out. Even if all is out, kol hecho de ihu motzi zochi, any situation where the person himself, where the owner could take it, could take possession or acquire it, chatzero nami zachyo, so his domain will also acquire on his behalf. The kol hecho de ihu lo motzi zochi, if he himself cannot acquire it, as we just said, according to this teaching of Rav Yudah Marav, that one is not allowed to take eggs that are being incubated by the mother, so that the mother is sitting on them. So chatzero nami lo zachyole, the chotzer doesn't acquire it for him either, and therefore it's not called mezuman, and therefore there is a chiyuv of shiluach. Ihachi amai asuros mipnei darkei shalom. If this is the scenario, then where does this concept of prohibited to take because of peace considerations and nothing more than that? How are we to understand the Tanaic source above that says that there's a chiyuv shiluach and that there is an iser gezel mitnei darkei shalom? E deshalcha, if we're describing a case that the mother was actually sent away, then gezel malihu, then someone else comes and takes those eggs, will be in violation of actual gezel, because after all, once you send the mother away, his chotzer, his domain, will acquire it for him. You know, the domain of the owner will acquire it for the owner. Anyone else who comes to take it will be in violation of actual theft, not just darkei shalom. E delo shalcha, if the mother has not been sent away, then shluchi boi, the obligation here is to send her away, which is a total obligation, not some kind of darkei shalom issue. So it's not clear what the source means
when it says that these the Yoni Shevich and Yoni Aliyah that could result in Gezel Mitnei Darkei Shalom. Because if, as we just said, the mother is still sitting on them, the issue at hand is not an issue of Gezel, the issue is an obligation to send her away, which is a Chiyuv Gomer, an absolute and complete Chiyuv, a Torah Chiyuv, and not some type of rabbinic consideration known as Darkei Shalom. The Gemara answers, Bekotan. We're talking about a minor. The Rashi says, toward the bottom of the page, six lines up from the bottom, Umeshani Bekotan. Delav bar shiluachu. He is not commanded in the mitzvah because he's a minor. He's under 13. He's not commanded in the mitzvahs. So, to describe him as being shiluchi boy, as we said just before, that there's an obligation of doing shiluch, that's not the case. The Gemara asks, well, katan bar darkei shalom hu? So, if you want to explain the source as referring to a katan who comes along and takes those eggs, why does the term darkei shalom appear? A katan isn't someone, a minor isn't someone that we take into consideration and formulate halachas in order to preserve peace. So the Gemara answers, Hochi ko'omar, Oviv shel katan, chayov lahachzir mipnei darkei shalom. If you have a katan who came along and took eggs from under a bird that was incubating them, the father of the katan is obligated to return them in order to preserve a sense of shalom amongst people. Levi bar Simon, Akni peros shovcho l'Rav Yehuda. Levi gave ownership of the peros shovel, the offspring of his coop, to Rav Yehuda. Also lekame de Shmuel. Rav Yehuda came to Shmuel in order to ask him how should he acquire the peros shovel, the chicks in Levi's bird coop. Amale zil troif akain. The liskibu v'karinu, hit the nest or the place in which the birds were located, and they will, out of fear, out of the noise that they hear, they will rise, they will flutter up, and through that you will acquire them. Lamai. The Gemara asks, what is this hagbah for? What is this raising for? E lemikna, if it is in order to constitute a clinching of a deal, whereby Levi won't be able to back out anymore. So, likninu le besudar, why bang the coop and have them flutter up when this goal could be accomplished by using a sudor, a cloth, or a, what's known as a handkerchief. Rashi adds over here, "Liknenu besudor v'lomu hutzruch v'yudah lish'ol heich yikne." What was motivating Rabbi Yehuda to ask a question when the answer would seem to be very simple? In other words, if his question concerned how do I acquire, the answer would be very simple: acquire with a sudor, and he knows that. E biyomtov. If his question is not in terms of acquiring, but in terms of preparing the birds for slaughtering on Yom Tov, which is a method of ensuring or getting around what's known as muktzah, where you have items that haven't been designated for Yom Tov use, you run into a problem called muktzah, something that hasn't been designated for Yom Tov use. So, if the issue is in terms of designating for Yom Tov use, well, as far as that is concerned, the Gemara at the top of Kuf Mem Beis Omed Aleph says, It would be sufficient for him simply to stand and say, I am taking thus and thus birds. The Gemara answers. And now this answer lasts a few lines. It lasts till the Mishnah. You can see we've noted this with a long answer marking the encircled tuff to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara with a vertical descending dashed line shows us the that this is a long answer. Hano peri chadati havu. The eggs in this case that Levi was transferring to Rav Yehuda. Remember, the Gemara opened up the story with Levi Bar Simon was not makni peri shofar of Yehuda. This involved peri chadati, havu. The mother, up till this point, was sitting on the eggs and has not risen from the eggs, has not risen at all from these eggs. Therefore, the domain of Levi has not acquired the eggs on his behalf. As we said before, it's also lizkois, it's also to take possession of eggs as long as the mother is sitting on them. The Levi Bar Simon Gufei lo havit koni lehu. Levi himself has not yet acquired it. Being that Levi himself hasn't acquired it, you can't really sell something that's not yours, so to speak. V'hochi ko'omar le. Thusly Shmuel was telling Rav Yehuda, Zil toref akein. Bang the nest or the coop, the lis gibehu, so that the birds will rise, that the mother will rise off the eggs, the nikninu Levi Bar Simon, and with the mother rising or fluttering above the eggs, that will enable Levi's chotzer to acquire it for him, v'hodar likninu nihaloch besudar, and after that, then Levi will be able to transfer it to you through the cloth method, the exchange of the cloth or the handkerchief method, which is a gesture that we do in order to clinch deals. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.